And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Ah, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. And tomorrow on the big show, I think we're going to make an announcement.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm teasing.
Why are we just thinking it?
Well, we got to make sure that everything's in place. Okay. But we're trying to put together a live event that listeners would be invited to come attend.
Yes.
And like I told you, I don't know that I've ever been involved in anything so nerve-wracking in my entire life.
You are really worked up about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a good way, though.
I know. Yes, I know. That's
you signed up for it.
But that's what makes it even harder, right? I mean, that's what makes it even more pressure-filled.
Yeah, yes.
It's going to be great.
I do this all the time. I come up with these ideas that seem good at the time, and then I start getting into the details of execution, and So anyway, I think we're going to have everything for the date and the tickets and all of that. I think we'll have it all nailed down so we can make this announcement tomorrow.
It'll be super fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. It will be.
It'll be in a wonderful experience and another life adventure, which is what I'm all about. I'm all about life adventures. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll tell you. And then what if nobody shows up, though? That's the other thing. What if nobody wants to come to this thing?
Well, we have enough friends.
Yeah, that's that's not going to happen.
We'll make it look full.
Yeah, okay.
It's not going to happen.
Because we got about 400. We got about 400 seats.
I don't know. It sounds like you're making an announcement right now, but we're not.
I can't do it yet until we have everything in place for the venue and everything. But
I think the bigger problem will be, how do we fit everybody who wants to come in?
Well, and then if it goes well, we may take it to other parts of the area, too.
Oh, right. Stop.
What? But I can't say
Jeanette
anything.
Jeanette is going to come in here and
it's either going to be a disaster or it's going to be a wild success. And I just don't know
that
which.
That just adds to the excitement.
Listeners will text us tomorrow after they find out about it and let us know, I'm sure.
Yeah. But seriously, what if crickets after the announcement?
Then it'll be a true life adventure.
You want us to have a laugh track in the background for you?
I don't know what I want. Just in case. I don't know what I want. That's the problem. Okay, let's get to the new. Oh, before I get to all the things in the Fastest 15, I would love it if you take 30 seconds out of your life to see the video that I retweeted today, because it is just absolutely beautiful. If you go to my Twitter, at Dory Monson, DoriMonson. I saw this thing this morning, and I'm trying to do this. If I see things that are really cool and beautiful and moving at the beginning of the day when I'm starting my show prep at 6 a.m., I'm trying to push that out because I think that I think it's good to because there's so I know, and I'm guilty of being a part of it, but there's just so much nonsense news that we're talking about every day. And there's just a lot of cool stuff. But it's a guy who had leukemia as a little kid, battled it for 5 years, had this dream of being a Marine. And it's a 28-second video as he is finally achieving his dream. And just seeing the emotion on this young man's face, and God bless our U.S. Marines and all of our other people who serve in all branches. But it's really cool. So go check that out at Dory Monson on Twitter. And I think you'll love it as much as I do. Did you just do the story, Ursula, about this lawsuit about the dirt haulers?
Yes.
In the state? Okay. So as they're digging out the tunnel where Highway 99 to replace the viaduct, they had to haul the dirt to a dirt dumping place. And it turns out that
in Port Ludlow.
Yeah, across the Sound.
Yes.
So it turns out that the guys who hauled the dirt were being paid somewhere between $27 to $31 an hour. But we have prevailing wage in this state where taxpayers, prevailing wage is a way of saying screw over the taxpayers. And according to this lawsuit, the guys hauling the dirt should have received $49.48 an hour. And you do a little bit of math, that's $103,000 a year to haul dirt. And this is an example. So they're now suing to get the increased wages for all of these workers. And it's not a criticism of, you know, the workers, because I've said many times, I think we push too many kids onto a college track. And there are a lot of great trades and blue collar jobs. And if you want to be an electrician or a plumber or a drywall hanger, there's a lot of construction going on around here and you can make a good solid living. But the job is, you know, like I said, they negotiated and they said, yeah, we should get between $27 and $31 an hour. But then they come along and say, no, 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 prevailing wage. And the way that salaries work in the free market is if there's a scarcity of people who can do a job, then they get paid more. There aren't very many people who can hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And that doesn't mean that being a baseball player is more meaningful to society or to life. It's about a scarcity of talent who can do it. And so they get a ton of dough.
I'm going to push back.
On what?
On what?
On reality?
No, about this particular, but keep going because I know you weren't done
okay.
with your.
Okay. There's anybody can haul dirt.
Okay, so the argument here, though, was that when they're using heavy machinery, mm-hmm. their hourly wage should have been just over $49 an hour right. instead of the
$103,000
yeah,
a year.
That's assuming that they would be doing the heavy machinery work, first of all, mm-hmm. 40 hours a week, which it sounds like in this case, they're talking about sharing that amount of differential between, so $370,000 between 46 different workers. So in that case, if you average
right.
it out, that's, yeah, so additional.
But my only point is that in a free market, the way wages are
sure.
determined is if there's a scarcity of people who are able to do a job. And
not everyone wants to work with heavy machinery.
And they don't have
to. And if there's a high risk involved, why shouldn't they get paid more?
Is there a high risk?
Possibly. I certainly don't want to work with heavy machinery hauling dirt across Puget Sound.
I had never driven a dozer before, and I knocked down a house a few years ago with took about 10 minutes to learn how to do it, and then I hopped in
it's
and knocked down
easy.
A house.
Would you want to do it for hours and hours every day?
No, if I wanted to do it for hours every day,
precisely.
I'd do it.
So they're finding people
but
who are willing to do that. I think you're just...
But anybody can do it. All I'm saying is when you get this prevailing wage...
Why shouldn't someone who gets, you know, because they play baseball and they do it really well, why shouldn't someone who... You're just saying not everyone needs to go to college to make a good living.
Right.
So why shouldn't someone... I mean, $100,000 is a great income, but it's not outrageous.
$27 to $31 an hour that they got paid, that's about $70,000 a year. That seems about
that's
right.
barely livable. In a city like Seattle, as you know.
Then, but again, the free market would determine that that's about the appropriate wage. But prevailing wage is taxpayers have to pay an exorbitant amount, and it drives up the cost. I mean, and I'm talking about, I don't think, so let's take the average family that makes, what's the average salary around here? $60,000, average household.
Yes.
About $60,000. So... Everybody has to take a pay cut because of our tax bill. Every time a tax is increased, that is a pay cut on every single taxpayer. And because you know they're able to artificially inflate wages for jobs, that means that they are extracting money from every other family. And if it's tough to make ends meet on $70,000 a year, maybe it'd be a little easier if the tax bill around here wasn't so high.
But is that what we're talking about in this case? What we're talking about in this case is that there is a wage range for people who do this kind of work. This is what's being alleged. It should be closer to $50 an hour versus $28 to $32.
Yeah, and I think $50 an hour is ridiculous. I think $30 an hour is a nice $65,000-$70,000 a year.
That they're getting paid that in other places.
Yes.
So the city should also be responsible for that. Because if they can go somewhere else and make the same money,
jobs are pay is determined by value. And government is able to greatly inflate the cost of every project because they see taxpayers as an unlimited source of revenue.
But I think you're putting your value on that particular job.
My value on my tax bill and your tax bill and our listeners' tax bill. I think that our taxes are way too high. We're paying more in taxes than we ever have. And all it's death by 10,000 cuts because all of these things add up to hurting every single family, every middle class, every working class family.
But people who are making that hourly wage also have families and they need to cover. I mean, no one would want it. I would not do a job like that if I said, you know, my max is $70,000.
Why don't we pay them $200,000 a year, though?
I would also say most of the increases that you're talking about, I think those are going to the people deciding these things, like the Zimbabweans, and those people are getting these
enormous... If that's his real name.
But they're getting the enormous salaries, and these people are just making a living.
Not in a relative sense, because, you know, Zimbabwe... Let's take Zimbabwe. So he's making, what, $170,000 a year?
Right.
There aren't very many people who can run SDOT. And I think that people who are at the top of an organization, that's why CEOs make so much money.
I think you're contradicting yourself because you're saying, hey, not everybody should go to college and there are great jobs that can be had. You know what? Not everyone can be an electrician, but guess what? They make really good money.
Yes, they
do. Not everyone can be a plumber. Well, not everyone can do.
But
just because you think that you can do heavy machinery.
But basic wage is fair for their job. And what prevailing wage does is it jacks up the cost by a tremendous amount of every single construction project. Do you know how much of Sound Transit? $100 billion is what we're going to end up spending on Sound Transit.
I know, but
chunk of that is these incredibly inflated prices that taxpayers have to pay because government says taxpayers are an endless source of dough. So anyway, they're 103,000. Go haul dirt.
I just feel like this is a diss on those dirt haulers.
No, it's not. It's not a diss on anybody.
I'm just saying that's how it feels like it's coming across.
It's a diss on prevailing wage. It's a diss on government. It's a diss on interruptions in real life economics. Government is not about real life economics in the slightest, and that's why taxpayers get screwed over.
And it's not about my feelings.
It's incredibly bad. Up next in the Fastest 15, and here's another place where government has no role. I think it's insane that we have a statue to Lenin in the Fremont District. We are talking about an absolutely murderous dictator responsible for millions and millions and millions of deaths. State lawmakers are looking to pass legislation that would replace the Vladimir Lenin statue. 14 Republicans. They say that they want to find a replacement for the statue. Hey, knucklehead legislators, it's on private property. And I don't like what Lenin stands for. I don't think it's cute and kitschy. I am not proud that we have a statue that represents somebody who, you know, was involved in the slaughter of tens of millions of people. But it's private property. It's none of government's business to impose the will because some Republicans, I don't like Lenin either. But it's not my business what sits on someone's private property. If they want to have a statue of Vladimir or John, I don't care. You can pay tribute to any Lenin you want, as long as it's your own private property. Up next, do I have time for this story? I got to give the story time because here's one you're going to like, Ursula. I might have to save this one for 1:30 for the next segment.
All right.
Okay, skip it.
Okay, I'll skip that one, but I'm coming right back to it. Okay, up next in the Fastest 50. Did you see the story about that guy who bought out all the Girl Scout cookies?
Yes, I heard it on Seattle's Morning News.
Yeah, so this guy went up to some Girl Scouts. It was really cold outside back in the Carolinas. And he said, you know what? I will buy all of your cookies. How much of inventory do you have left? And they had $540 worth of cookies sitting out there. And so this guy said, you know what? I'll buy all of the cookies so you can get out of the cold. Dietrich McGowan. And so this story went viral late last week. He posed for a picture with the little Girl Scouts, and it was just this wonderful feel-good story about this good Samaritan who just wanted to get the Girl Scouts out of the cold. I have an update to that story. Once some law enforcement officials saw the viral picture of Dietrich McGowan, they said, oh, that's the guy who's been trying to import cocaine and heroin and fentanyl and has racketeering allegations against him. And here is the local South Carolina station on the little update on the Girl Scout Good Samaritan.
It's a photo that's been shared nearly 10,000 times. Two Girl Scouts thanking this man who stopped at a buy low in Malden and bought all of their Girl Scout cookies so the girls wouldn't have to stand in the rain.
That's what I thought at first.
7 News spoke to their cookie manager Tuesday afternoon.
I said, I saw that little girl shivering. Pack up all your cookies. I'm going to take it so y'all can get out of the cold.
But after conducting interviews, 7 News learned the man in the photo, Dietrich McGowan, was arrested Tuesday morning by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, or DEA, accused of conspiracy to manufacture and distribute heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl.
Which we can't have any good stories.
I know.
But does that, just throwing this out there, does it erase his good?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
If he got the $540 by importing heroin and fentanyl, which led to the deaths of many Americans.
And who knows if he's not turning around those cookies and selling them for more.
Jeez. Okay, just clarifying.
Let me take a time out here because I want to get to the story we'll all agree on. I'm going to continue this into a second 15 as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Ever since I was about 2 years old, I've been fascinated with numbers. In fact, it's really weird that I do for a living something that involves words, because I was lousy at English, you know, in relative sense. I was kind of a math prodigy when I was a kid, and I just always loved numbers. And one of the ways that I pursued that, and I don't know why, I don't even know how, but gambling has always been, you know, as far back as I can remember. So when I was 15, I started playing backgammon. And within a couple of years, when I was 17, I went and played in the U.S. Open down in Lake Tahoe. I started handicapping horse racing. I remember vividly, we were going to drive to North Dakota when I was 12 years old, and I found a horse race handicapping book at this used bookstore, and I read that the entire way. I knew it was going to be years before I would be able to be old enough to place a bet, but I started researching horse handicapping, and I had one summer when I was 19 where I made about $18,000, which was more than my dad ever made in a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that edge disappeared because, you know, they often will catch up. I started counting cards. I got kicked out of a couple of casinos in Reno when I was 21 for card counting. But I've just always been fascinated with gambling. So there are very few games in which you can get an edge. I like playing craps now. I had a really good weekend in Vegas last weekend, but one of the guys who was watching goes, are you up for your lifetime the way you play? I go, no, nobody's up for their lifetime playing craps.
Unless they're lying.
Yeah, And in fact, that's what the dealer said. I immediately said no. And the dealer laughed and he goes, if you'd said yes, I would have known you were lying. because you cannot get, now I can get the house edge down to about 0.1% the way I play. But I cannot get, you cannot get the edge in your favor in craps. If you're a card counter in blackjack, if you're a great poker player, if you're a great horse handicapper, those are some of the few gambling games where you can get an advantage. Have you ever played the slot machines?
You're so funny. As a matter of fact, I was just on a boat.
Really?
And yes, okay. I played a few slots.
I remember, again, when I was a kid, I read this story about these they were these math guys. And back when they had the reels, the physical reels on slot machines, they were able to see, okay, cherry, lemon, wild. And they read the wheel and they took notes and they could figure out the exact sequencing,
it's like patterns
of every spot on the wheel. And through that, they could figure out the exact odds. And there were some, they have these progressive jackpots.
Oh, yeah.
And if it would get up to a certain threshold, and, it might be $200,000, but at that point, it becomes a positive expectation game. And so they would have these teams, and they would get on every one of these progressive machines, and they'd play them around the clock until they hit the 200,000, and they would win because they were playing with a positive expectation. So anyway, I read about that when I was a kid. Fascinating.
That's crazy.
Okay, so let me tell you what just happened in New Jersey. They have online, they have Atlantic City, brick and mortar casinos, but they also have online casinos in New Jersey, and you can play slots online.
And sounds so dangerous, to be honest.
Yes, it is. Unless you are one of these positive expectation guys, because they were able to figure out that it was called an Ocean Magic machine. And on Ocean Magic, they found out that if there was a wild bubble. And if there was a wild bubble in the second position in the first row, you had a positive expectation on the next spin.
Really?
And they, ran the numbers and they found out it's a pretty big positive expectation. But what are the odds of the wild bubble being in the second position on the first row? Well, it turns out that was the default first roll position whenever you changed your denomination. So if you played for a dollar,
yeah,
that bubble would be in that spot and you'd have a positive expectation. Then you go up to $2. The machine would reset to that opening screen that had the bubble in the correct position. You could play for up to $3,000 a spin.
No.
And so these guys figured this out. This was in early this month. And they told all their friends and they said, hey, open an account, play for the max. And they figured out every spin.
Okay, just to start even with $3,000 a spin, you got to have a big bank.
Yes, they were opening accounts for $50,000 to $100,000. And they played it for about 4 days. Every spin, they had a positive expectation. They won $900,000 in about 4 days. But the casinos have only paid out $400,000, and now they've stopped. They've stopped paying them. They've stopped responding. They have a phone number that the Gambling Control Board has opened up. The voicemail is full. Reporters have made calls to every one of the 13 casino operators. Not one call, not one email has been returned.
That's horrible.
And they are sitting on $500,000 of this team's money.
I mean, considering how many people just lose and lose, it is a losing proposition.
Can you consider that a glitch with the computer?
If it is, then the casino's problem is with the machine manufacturer.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
You cannot blame the players for exploiting an opportunity like that.
Right.
And so there's a huge legal issue going on now, but they did get paid out $400,000, but $500,000 is still in their accounts, And they've taken screenshots because they think that the casinos are just going to try to erase everything. And so, but I read, it was a long, long story about that that I read this morning. And again, it just fed my fascination.
I was going to say, time well spent.
Oh, with people who can exploit advantages like that. So, well done to that team. I hope they get paid off now. Okay, I got a lot of other news to get to here from our leftover Fastest 15. And did you know that if, do you ever read Dr. Seuss to your kids? If so, you are likely a racist. Details coming up on the Dory Monson Show. I saw the news yesterday that the Seattle Weekly newspaper, they are going to cease publication of their print edition. They're going to become online only. Which, I don't know. You know, Seattle PI did that a few years ago, and the PI as a website, I think they have a couple good people who still work there. They have a couple really bad people, or at least one really bad person who still works there. But it's an unreadable website, and it just doesn't offer much. So I don't know if the Weekly, what they're going to be able to do is online only. But you know, newspapers, it's a tough business model. The reason I mention this at all is a few years ago, one of the reporters at the Weekly said, we want to do a profile on you. And management here was really, you know, they said, don't do it. They said, it's just going to be a hit job. They're going to hate your politics. They're going to hate your social views. It's just going to be a hit piece. And I talked with the guy who turned, I mean, he was a long time. I think he was at the PI, Ellis Conklin. Really good reporter and really nice guy. And we ended up, you know, talking for hours and hours as he researched this profile. And it turned out, you know, what did they call me? A tempest of outrage. But they, you know, they put us on the cover. And the story was, you know, it was not a hit piece at all. In fact, it was really nice. It was flattering, but it was the most extensive lifetime biography. You know, because he ended up talking about my childhood and everything, and it just turned out to be a very, very nice piece. And I always appreciated that. And I was surprised that the Weekly did something nice because I think as a publication, they're probably very different. Their editorial board ideologically for me and all of that. But we will repost that story if you never saw it because it ended up being like an extensive just kind of look at how we got to this position on the show and elsewhere. So we'll put it up on the blog at mynorthwest.com. We'll put it up on Facebook if you want to check that out. Do you read Dr. Seuss to your kids? You racist. It turns out that Read Across America is something they do in schools every year. It's a big, you know, reading celebration. And Dr. Seuss has always been a big part of Read Across America. But some people say that Dr. Seuss is too racist for children. Because in the book, and to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, a character described as Chinese, has two lines for eyes, carries chopsticks and a bowl of rice. There are other books. If I ran the zoo, two men said to be from Africa are shown shirtless, shoeless, and wearing grass skirts as they carry an exotic animal. And so Dr. Seuss in 2019 America is considered too racist. Are we making the country better with all of this? Big Lead 2 is next.